for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. We have another new episode. This one is opinionated once more, and there will be more of these. But what happens when an empowered woman deals with attachment-wounded men or women or theys? But we will focus on the attachment-wounded men. However, it's with any person who has attachment wounds. However, when it comes to romantically dating, there are many that are not seeing what an empowered woman actually thinks, feels, handles. How do we do and deal with those who have attachment wounds? Okay, so again, apply it to anything. Empowered means you have your inner child healed. So you are kind and compassionate. And if you are not in a situation where kindness will work for you, what you will be is lovingly firm, or you can use the word ventral vagal. But the point is, you're a restorative embodiment of yourself. So you're self-aware, you're self-reflective, you have emotional awareness, accountability, and self-regulation skills. So you're in a green every time, all the time, unless there's a physical weapon in front of you, you won't be in your survival mode. You won't be in a safety behavior, a maladaptive child behavior. You will not be shaming, blaming, faulting. You don't do revenge at all. If you've never had a broken-hearted three-year-old, you do not ever do that. You do not ever have envy. If you have ever felt the envy or jealousy, you do know and learn how to, wait a minute, but I'm not insecure. I don't want what somebody else has. And it's a feeling. It's not the thought. Okay, so you work with your embodied brain because of having meta-awareness, which leads you to have self-awareness, self-reflection, but also the inner growth mindset journey. And so equanimity. You have the capacity to be objective and know that you're imperfect and flawed, but you're unconditionally loved. So this is where, if you have always had a healed inner child like I got lucky, that's where you don't lose self-empowerment at all. You grow it, and you grow equanimity, and you grow to move more and more into restorative embodiment, and you'll feel awe and grace and blissfulness. You don't have to do yoga per se. It's a conscious choice from your left mode, the thinking, the verbal one, and the right mode, the feeling, the one that deals with unknowns, uncertainties. So you all have left and right mode. Empowered women definitely use their prefrontal cortex, as do, like I said, empowered men, but I'm not a man, so I won't be speaking for men. I will be speaking for empowered women. And when I meet empowered men, I will know them because they will not wear a mask. And they will actually tell me everything they think, however it is they think it, with their human emotions like I will. So if they get passionate, if they get angry, if they get moody, whatever it is that's coming up, they don't hide it from you. And actually, they even know how to say, you know what? I'm in a really bad mood right now. So men that are healthy self-worth, they learn to be self-aware. And with their own self-reflection capacity, they choose to work with their behavior because they care about their herd, which is any human being that crosses their path. Doesn't matter if another one is caring about them. This is called common decency. Common decency with equanimity means always functional adult again. So it doesn't mean if you're nasty to me, I'm going to justify me getting reactive. No, I'm going to learn how to be equanimous independently from if you're in your survival mode. So I learn how to differentiate and consistently bring my nervous system to my ventral vagal because I can emotionally self-regulate. It's called self-regulation skills. We learn all about it here. That's the functional adult love language. That's you being yourself, okay? So your inner child healed means I be me and you be you. And so when you're in your biological rudeness, which is, these are words from Stephen Porges, I will know that you're in red or yellow. I won't be offended because I don't have a sensitive ego. I'm self-empowered. I have an ego that is a self. So my three-year-old ego with myself, and some people, they don't want to use any of these words. I'm going to keep using them all interchangeably, FYI. Remember that the self, for how the attachment trauma information people are sharing it with us, it's a verb. It's something that goes through expansion. And that's because you have your 0-1-year-old attached panicky, your 3-7 shame submissive, your freeze of all ages, your flight 11-12, and your fight 14-15-16. So what we see out there when people are thinking they're empowered, but they're actually insulting each other, yes, those are the teenagers. Okay, so an empowered woman, when we deal with attachment wounded men, we don't insult them. We don't actually in any way, shape, or form lift a finger. Because if we do, we know that that's very childlike and not appropriate at all. In fact, you will only have done things that are immature at those ages of immaturity. That's if you begin to choose to be a person who stands in equanimity. So you choose to hold that value body and heart body. Okay, so from your adolescent, you get to make that first choice point. I remember making it. And that's from, yes, the age of about, I'd say, 11 to 15. Those were the kids that got to see unkindness as well as make love choices, which I look back and always, once I was like, these choices that didn't actually match what you got taught. Yeah, yep, not I think, I know. Okay, I know where I'm headed. It's wherever I say is good, and my gut and my body and my heart and what I feel happy. So when I wake up in the morning, I know that I did everything in the way that makes my heart feel purely loving. And I'm not even joking with you how easy this is. So when somebody though brings you their projection, their insecurities, you will notice it. But because you were taught to be a decent human being by the people who say to you, your three-year-old doesn't rule anything, you learn how to use the right silence and you recalibrate also. So you start to learn how to use your prefrontal cortex and you handle projection, which is everything that an attachment wounded person will have. Because low self-esteem in direct communicators, passive-aggressive, not knowing boundaries, it's actually something that you can expect from teenagers. They have low self-esteem. If they get shown the way to being emotionally accountable, aware, self-regulators, and mature, they understand that every conversation, especially when you're disagreeing, is going to be scary. Yeah, it's going to be your nervous, all that. I learned all about it. I learned, in fact, that I would want to see myself again and again, and I did, and I do. So here's where it's a beautiful place to be, okay? So empowerment means I will not insult you. Empowerment means I don't react. No, empowerment means if I do react, I know I will have and I will apologize because I know that I got stressed and that I got reactive. Those who have attachment wounds, if they are lacking the desire to be a part of their human herd as empowered human beings, they will not be moving one inch from what we see online when you see Peter Pan's and Wendy's and any person who's basically humans suck, men suck, women suck, okay? So that's where we're going to leave that one. So the human suffering love group, we know who they are and they have options. And on that note, before we begin our topic, let me wrap up the copy that I shared yesterday with our lovely videos because we have YouTube. If you don't follow, you can go there. Okay, so here's what I shared. The 5D Collective, which is who I chit-chat with because those are all people who want to use integration of the brain, move into their restorative embodiment. So the left and right mode are your friends. And if you don't know how to be friends, we talk about that. Okay, we talk about the importance of going to good therapy for those who have childhood developmental trauma. Good therapy involves EMDR, child parts work, and somatics. And so you can begin a journey to heal. And healing means reparenting and becoming your inner child. Once you have regained that, you will notice the difference and you will have healthy self-worth. So you will not enter any codependent type relationship with a blamer, victim, or martyr or superior. You will know that your audience is something important for you to watch for and that you want to be around the securely attached functional adult human being. So those who speak to you in any terms, anything, whatever you're talking about, it's called consistency. What it is you're going to notice they have no masks. This is the 5D community that we get to come over here and build together as well. Okay, so 5D Collective, Mystics and Not, they enjoy unmasked and passionate relationships with authentic, open-hearted self people. So that's either they are already healed like I am. Thanks, Mom. I didn't have an unhealed inner child, so I don't hide myself. I always tell the truth, meaning what I want to tell you in your face. If I don't want to tell you something about my personal shit, I don't care that you think I should. In fact, I've told that to people that have attachment wounds, in this case, women who have said things like, but you don't tell me about your life and that means we're not friends. No, you are my friend, but I don't have to tell you about my stuff if I don't want to. It's my life. I don't have to. Like when I say I talk about all of the things that are of my life. Well, I've been in your life. Well, that's my life. I have stories that I've shown or shared. So there's that. I'm sharing my stories. What are you doing? You know, so again, every person is different. And furthermore, what thing is about stories is why would we want to hide our story? So when you're not ashamed of being yourself or you're not ashamed of having differences and you're okay with having exchanges, this is why anybody can come to you and be like, how dare you share your life? Okay, I didn't know that was your business, for example, just random share. But if I choose that I don't want to talk to you about my stuff, that's my conscious choice. I have a right to it. And if you tell me that that doesn't satisfy you in your relationships, that's called a demand. You're now telling me how you think I should be. And yeah, well, my 3-year-old is going to say no, and you don't have to like it because I didn't ask you to. So this is where empowerment is. I'm not going to argue about it. I already decided. It's my brain that formulates, it's so straightforward. People will agree to disagree easily and not like what that was. That's all people that don't happen in my life too much. The few times they do, I say, hey, that's not how I work. So you better decide what you want because I don't work that way. They don't like it ever, but again, I don't actually negotiate what I'm going to tell you about my life or not. And this is something also, by the way, smart, because usually the only people who will bring up, you didn't do it right, you didn't do friendship right, you didn't do the relationship right, the only people who will do something like that, my lovely listeners, yeah, they're all not in the functional adult. They're not anywhere near fun. They didn't get the child-centric environment. They had to work for love, and somehow they got told, or I don't know how they came to think that those items that they're giving you have to be a part of the relationship. They got a shopping list for you, and that's not a free flow. So free flow, there's a 3-year-old just wants to paint. I'm having fun. But then again, I am a solo polyamory person. So, what do I know, right? Here's the part. Some would say that we want everything. I guess that's true, isn't it? Okay, so that's the part of where I love it when people like to tell other people how to live their love life. It almost makes me think that they don't know what year it is. It makes me feel like they're in the Scarlet Letter times. Okay, so when you have a ego self that is pretty cool with just, doing you, this is the part, any of the topics that society put up. So polyamory for me is not an anomaly. I was already here as a teenager, I just didn't have a word for it. And as I moved into Mystic Plane, then it became fixed because, with my twin flames and soulmates, those are bonds that will forever be. I don't have to cancel them because my 0-1-year-old doesn't need to attach to any of them to feel safe. I'm my own safe haven. I know how to regulate my nervous system. This is what that means, my lovely listeners. And I'm my own secure base. I know how to have 24 hours full of shit that interests my actual intellectual human being brain. My body too. So I don't need you to be in love with life. I love life every day of my life. And the minute you make it harder for me, I mean, no, you're not. The point, the minute you present to me something that I don't like, my 3-year-old will say, no, you can talk to me about anything you want. I just told you no, though. And that's why my loved ones, here's what they share sometimes. As I lead my life happily, might I add, they say, oh, well, let's just put it this way. They tell me that I don't negotiate, and I say, yes, that's actually very true. I don't, which is why I'm not leading a couple-centric life. Did nobody notice that I have been conducting my life the exact way I want to? And no herd member of mine seems to, not be conducting their life. So that's empowerment for you. You don't feel shame about being your whole 3-year-old heart. And I do tell my mom, I say, mom, it is thanks to you. You kept telling me, do you mind your own business? It's your life. It's your life. Everything comes back to you. So what do you want? I was on a roll and you kept telling me, keep on doing you. And now you find me at my age doing me. And I love her. I love her to death. She also taught me how to accept that boys wouldn't like me necessarily. So let's get into that one, shall we? Let me finish reading and then we'll get to the story. It's a funny story. I've told it to you before. Okay. So when you have open-hearted people, none of what I mentioned about lists of shopping will present itself. No, you got unmasked, passionate people. So we get to just be grown-ups with a bunch of emotions and have actual beautiful conversations. Yes. So when you have healthy self-worth men, they're awesome. But you have to have healthy self-worth women because otherwise they're going to be, yeah, not fun to be around. It's not fun to be around men or women that you can't talk about anything with. So I'm saying politics, religion, you name it. You name the controversial, I think is the right word, like disagreeing with some, I love it. actually one of my bestest men friends. Now that we have our language together, we actually are able to just passionately converse. And it's really funny because now we get each other. So there's a fluidity. And that's what happens when there's a me, we, mui, as Daniel Siegel presents. It's when I see you and you see me and you're differentiated and I'm differentiated and then we link, and that means we are cool with each other being ourselves, but that's because each of us is cool with that, and so then we make a whole, but we're still two separate energies, but we make a whole together and we have synergy. And so what I'm trying to get at is we now know our way of speaking about things, so we're able to consistently expand. And actually, well, this is not surprising because see, the human herd, we care about humanity, so we end up finding that we have a lot more things we share when it comes to the essence of everything. So we're not picky about the external stuff because that's where it is an intellectual meeting of the minds on that end of the spectrum. When you have mutual respect, when you're exchanging ideas, politics, religion, sociology, society, these topics, I am an academic. I just don't have people that are empowered enough to have an actual interesting conversation with. Furthermore, I don't remember data very well, so I'm not great with my words, which is why my friend and I took time before we were able to get into the flow, because I don't use words effectively because I don't remember them, for example. But once somebody figures that out and they're like, okay, that person's brain works a certain way, so they don't know how to express. And this is the part of why we are all accepting each other with our quote-unquote flaws and imperfections. It's because we're choosing to be open to somebody having a different way to share that subjective experience, but also the capacity to be open-minded enough to recognize that the way your brain can think can be different. This is one of the things people really don't understand when they're not open to differences in ways of thinking, one, but also in like giving time to really say, okay, some people, they don't, you know, the neurotypical neurodivergence, just an example, but there are ways that people don't share what it is like for them. They just make it into an argument. So I'm neurotypical. I'm not neurodivergent, not from my knowing, and I don't feel neurodivergent from everything I've seen. I'm pretty sure it's not. But sometimes I wonder, because there's definitely things that I'm like, I don't really know. My brain, I'm a person who's also a healer child. I'm a ruptured ego self. I love humanity. I love being with people. I don't care about your opinion. I literally could care shit less of your opinion, because when I think of important matters, I'm going to go vote. I'm going to do things. It's not social time. If I'm talking to you, it's social time. I don't care about proving a point to you. That's not why I'm talking to you. So my ego is not invested in let me prove I'm right. No, I don't. That's the adaptive child. Right there is the maladaptive child. It's a teenager who's still trying to prove shit to somebody. No, I'm not. I'm actually just enjoying myself. It's called Mahasamadhi Samadhi. So when you are an independent thinker and you don't really take those topics as important, because the important topics is when we go to the voting booth. The important topics is when we're actually in seats, and here's where we have experts. So there are experts, they get together. We want smarter experts to get together to make better laws. And so that those are important seats, but not if I'm having social time with you, which is why when people can be open to socializing together, they can hear differences. And to me, there's a difference if you are interacting with your community for social time versus if I'm having a panel and I'm debating. If I'm having a panel and I'm debating, then I'm going to prepare. But if I am having what to me is, again, gossip, essentially, you and I sit together, we watch TV, whatever it be, it can be the news, I don't give a shit what it is. You and I are sitting together. What we're doing is actually using air. You and I will not be mattering anything in that moment in time, except for what we're getting to know about each other. It will matter what we conclude and what we interact with, but only if we're serious about then going to support a bigger picture. And furthermore, when we silence each other, which is what people are doing because they're not actually mature, that doesn't create anything at all. So what we are going to find, by the way, in 2024 moving forward, because I've seen it, is finally those smart human beings out there creating smart conversations. So let me get back to our topic, because for us, it's personal development here. And we talk about building relationships and supporting people who want to heal their unresolved trauma and get out of that, you know, stuff. Okay, so when you have human love group people, you will have a great time because they are wanting to be their inner child and they are wanting to be a part of the herd and they care about the herd. And so social time is used to enjoy each other, not to prove points, because proving points is only when you're debating. And really, if you're going to be a debater, you're going to go and get educated and be smart and not, you know, what people do in the streets, essentially, which there's a whole buttload I could say. None of those people yelling and silencing each other know that they are not pachas. They're all Cuscos and squirrels. Okay, so when people that are not consistent and open-hearted and themselves choose fear, we put into place what the adaptive child, maladaptive child behavior will make us aware of throughout our interactions in time. So 5D person will not be walking on eggshells with a person who has attachment wounds. As they go no contact, as they come in and out, as they begin to do what they do, we will have our conversations. They can get passionate. They can get into whatever. But once we're clear, and that's where Pacha will get clarity. If you lie to me like Cusco does when they're about to go over the bridge, where Pacha says, "Don't shake my hand if you don't mean it," and he shakes it, and then when that happens, because that can happen and will happen, a Pacha will now know Cusco's a liar. And so in real life scenario, what I know is an attachment wounded person has a shared fantasy. No, they have their own fantasy stage. They are addicted to a roller coaster. They're ups and downs, they're maladaptive because they're playing out their 0-1-year-old attached panicky and their 3-7 shame submissive. They feel and get addicted to that intermittent reinforced dynamic between them and others. So they are the emotionally unavailable person. And they don't think about the person. They're not able to, yes, they could if they wanted to. They could if they cared enough to say, wait a minute, I am coming in and out of a person's life and they asked me some questions. And really, it's, you know, it's unfortunate that people choose silence, because their silence doesn't actually obtain anything for them, at least. For the ones of us who are empowered, like me, silence is the best gift that I've ever been given. I had questions about it. I figured it all out. It's because it's good. Silence is good when you get the opportunity to keep learning and understand that people are addicted to their roller coasters, because those who have attachment wounds will continue to go date. In fact, they'll invest a long-term relationship with an unhealthy self-worth partner. They will move into their next abusive, basically. It's because they're going to go with a martyr, superior, or a blamer. And they're going to allow themselves to be treated a certain way. And they're going to treat. And there's your person who doesn't have a good trauma therapist. I have met in most of my grown-up life women and men that are in relationships that are codependent. And whether with the mystic guidance or not, they don't actually move into healthy self-worth. They choose to consistently talk about each other like pieces of shit. And to stay in those roller coaster, it's unfortunate. Okay, so we know as Pachas, an empowered woman, how to basically, once you let me in, no, it's not you letting me in, is that in a certain amount of time, I will notice through our interactions what it is you clearly want from me. That's all. And when you're coming in and out, then I know you want to come in and out. If you're going no contact and you are doing it in a specific way, then I'm going to learn that you're doing it in a specific way. You've not done anything except for showing me how you work. That's all. Since I am already myself, I'm not trying to attach to you. Nothing's going to change between us because I'm already being myself. I didn't say to you, I love you, because I didn't mean it. I didn't, you know, come and continue my interactions in a way that were a lie. No, mine are consistently truths. And the minute I have questions, I'll ask them of you. And the minute you distort something, I will know you are doing it because I'm a healthy, self-worth woman. I won't ask you or tell you, you have to believe in me, because I actually already got to learn as a teenager that I would not do that because of not being able to prove my intent. Thanks to my teenage boyfriend who had a very important conversation. No, it was a discussion. And that was the day I learned, I can't prove my heart. That's true. I can't even prove my brain. Let me think, what am I going to do moving forward, Maria? Oh, I'm not going to bother at all. This is the greatest lesson ever. So whenever I've met people, when they twist things, I know already the truth because I know how I come into something, which is I'm not lying to you if I'm speaking to you, especially if you're my partner or partners. Okay, so we handle with care the human suffering love narrative group of people because they have one fear, they choose fear, they have fear, they're closed off to their inner child, they're not opening to their child self. If they were, then they would be opening up to you, okay? And that would be a very beautiful moment, might I add, because when people open up who they are and they share with you their vulnerability, that's the moment that you and them are sharing what is a real moment. And they're also allowing healing to happen. They're sharing the inner child. But the adaptive child is what will have come forth that allows for the conversation to happen, if you will. And then it's because they're self-aware, they're self-reflective, and they're taking emotional accountability and emotional awareness. So that's a whole different story. It's not the ones who are serial daters or the ones who go no contact. And then, you know, if you ask them anything, they get passive aggressive. Okay, I'm talking if a person is self-reflective, self-aware, and they are having in interaction with you and they're open to their self, they will open to you as you ask, what the fuck? What just happened? I want to know what happened. Are we going to talk about this? This is a very important thing. The minute they say no and then they never revisit it, this is the minute that a empowered woman will not touch that subject ever again. I don't need to. You just showed me you are furious. And you've sealed the deal, and I'm not your parent, nor am I your therapist. So I'm not going to come lecture you or do any of that. The people who do that are the martyr superiors who are in codependence. So they want to tend to their unhealed partner's stuff. And that's exactly why they're a codependent type person and unheal themselves, because they're in that, I'm going to take care of this situation. And that's another adaptive child. Okay, so for us to talk to you, because it will be a direct conversation, not a accusation, it won't be shame, it won't be blame, it won't be fault, it won't be revenge, and the empowered woman has none of those. We have compersion. I'm always happy for my partners. When I have had partners with other partners, I'm happy for them. It's always been very sad to realize that some don't actually know that they can speak about things, so it took them time to figure it out. Because of their own insecurities, not mine. I've made it very clear that I'm polyamory. People just don't seem to understand what empowered women are like. There you go. And yes, men seem to not know that some of us, we really don't compete. This is where the voice of empowered women I'm trying to share. You can't replace me. There's one, actually, I have a twin. So I'm irreplaceable, so are you. This is also why the relationship anarchy and non-hierarchical. Every person is going to be beautiful, but you better bet I'm going to be building a bond with somebody who's open-hearted, not somebody who's closed-hearted, because your closed-heartedness means you have not bilateral, and you have no self-awareness, and you have no actual desire to bring in your heart. Otherwise, you'd be having heart-to-heart conversations with me. Okay, so they don't want to build open-hearted, authentic relationships, and it is of the utmost importance for anyone in the 5D collective to leave it alone, because now I know you are wearing a mask, you're Cusco, you are afraid and you don't want to share. So my next thing is, at most I will try to ensure you know you're safe to be yourself with me, because I have a whole inner child, so I won't be projecting anything. I will recalibrate in the amount of time it takes me to figure out all of those interactions, if you're not able to speak them to me, because some people, they don't. Attachment wounds begin at that 0-1-year-old, so they have no words. So their maladaptive behavior, it's in the biological rudeness, and that's explainable. I don't need to bring it up. Okay, so It's important to the 5D collective because we don't want to trigger the inner child self-wounds of these individuals. So learning how to handle anything will always be with the right silence, especially for those of us who are attachment and trauma-informed. And we, again, automatically want clarity. So my direct communication doesn't cease to exist, but I will know when you are doing what you're doing because your heart and my heart, they talk. So when you're wearing a mask, I know you're wearing one. When you're in a mood, I know you're in a mood. And if you're not going to talk to me, I know you're not going to talk to me, because when you're in a mood, you're going to project that mood onto me unless you're wanting to be supported. If you're open-hearted, then you're going to say, hey, I'm in a mood today. You want to talk a little bit. Or you want to sit here. And so you don't do no contact. You don't do I'm going to come in and out. You don't do any inconsistent communication if you want to build a relationship, okay? So attachment wounded men don't know, and they don't open up. It's not hard to understand. It's actually very easy. And again, you don't want to trigger any of their inner child wounds, because I'm not here to be a babysitter. I'm also not here to be a man's parent at all, not even a little bit. That's not my idea of partnership. You know, it's an open-ended heart-to-heart conversation where we support each other. So I will lift you up when you're up, and I will lift you up when you're down, because I know how to always be in my enlightenment soul age group vibration, because I'm in my prefrontal cortex. I'm in my ventral vagal state, because I'm in my emotional mental body, knowing that nobody is being physically in any type of situation. So when you bring me your emotions, they don't weigh me down, because you are sharing emotions. I'm an emotional regulator champ. What can I say? That's when love is always on, because why wouldn't it be? Nobody's physically dying. I'm not in physical peril. Okay, so the part about how we are able to engage in the prefrontal cortex, it's because there's no need for our survival mode. I observe my surrounding. You're coming to me with a conversation. I will hear you because you're telling me about the mental and emotional plane of view. Nobody, there's no threat. So hopefully I've shared that enough so that you can understand. It's not about being insensitive or cold. It's actually you haven't brought me something that is devastating us around. And so my body isn't triggered to be in a defense position. I'm not defending. I don't need to. I'm not surviving. I'm not in my survival mode. Okay. Presenting emotional stuff is beautiful because I get to support you. So now I know I'm going to listen to you, give you a hug. I'm going to try to make sure, am I listening in a way you want to be listened? Do you want me to talk? Do you want me not to talk? How would you want me to be supportive? That's what my mind is going to be if you're an open-hearted person who is saying, hey, I had a really bad day. I would love to have your support. Your love language is what you're going to tell me. It is not hide it from you. Okay, so the part about hiding, it's straightforward as it gets, and we don't try and poke at that. No, it's their state of consciousness. It's their unfinished business. It involves their unresolved childhood trauma projection, the attachment wounds, the maladaptive child behavior, all that. So it's for them to take note of if they want, and with the motivation of their inner and outer well-being, as people who live with people, you better bet that if they are smart, they will have that. But here's where some people, they seem to want to use the word smart, but they're not actually motivated about their inner or outer well-being because they watch movies like Hangover and think that being an in-and-out human being, a serial dater, is a badass. Men and women alike. So they stay teenagers in that attitude, in my personal perspective, which is why we also like, wow, there's another Cusco. Hope they have fun in their shame cycle, inner critic, outer critic. What is that? Drugs, alcohol, food? What are you doing? Wait, are you doing, is that fucking over there? Wow, you have a pretty interesting karma circle going on. Did you know karma is the unconscious stuff? So your child charge states and your adolescent years, you're not going to take any of that and get better in your human body. You're going to say human suffering love narrative. Okay, bye. Have fun. I'm not laughing because it's funny. No, I really am not. I wish you were motivated to take your inner and outer well-being seriously. But hey, you know, I'm not the self of you. I'm not going to be a three-year-old telling you what to do. No way, Jose. That's for the codependent people. So without an individual being self-aware, reflective, and motivated to grow healthy self-worth, oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, they do let people treat them consistently like little you know, it is what it is. So they think they're having a very good time, by the way. So they don't look into healthy self-worth. They don't look into secure attachment relationships or the good trauma therapy information. And so they don't have eyes on their emotional regulation, their emotional accountability, and their emotional awareness opportunities that they just got because of, you know, our relationship, me and them, right? You and I, the whole globe, all people, life will send them shit. They will be handling it with no self or emotional awareness. But luckily, the 5D knows there's plenty of great therapists out there with information all over YouTube. It's free. There's Patrick Tihan with Childhood Trauma. Terry Real for couples who want to live a better couple's life. There's Jessica Fern for our polyamory community so that you can be poly secure. There's Daniel Siegel. There's Bessel van der Kolk. There's a buttload of people. You know what? But I bet you I know who they're watching. They're watching things like this. What are you going to do to get your avoidant attachment ex back? You should try the no contact. Give them their 30 days of free space and watch them come crawling back. That is what people, women, by the way, might add, because as a woman, you better bet my YouTube feed brings me all this shit that women that are not empowered are watching. And I'm like, why would I even bother trying to get you back by doing something that is a mechanism that equals manipulation in my book? I don't want you back because I don't want to babysit you. And you didn't go and get a good therapist. And you didn't even bother thinking, oh, look, did I do something to a person? So I know that on all accounts, you have no emotional accountability, no emotional availability. You have no emotional awareness of yourself, because otherwise you would have been like, I really need to take this seriously. I just did something that is called F-E-A-R, fear. And I'm a grown human being, man. And I'm not going to do that to another human being, woman, especially if I want to say I have balls and I'm a badass. Yeah, sure. Okay, so I'm just, you know, humoring myself right now, because I really do wonder what goes on in the brains of men who think they're badass and yet they go no contact, come in and out, and they have attachment wounds. Oh yes, again, Hangover. I forget that movie. Oh, that movie. I was so like, what the fuck? Seriously? And that's not the only movie. Let me get away from movie land, because otherwise I'm going to be really, really off track. So luckily, like I said, there's online information for any person who has the human suffering love narrative, and they can learn all about healing their inner child, healthy self-worth relationships, secure attachment relationships. And when they embark on this journey and when they're ready, they will find us too, so that they can come and know where the love is at and we can keep growing together. So we heal trauma in the meantime, the 5D collective of empowered human beings, women, men, and theys, by building our relationships with people who want to use hearts. So that means they have balls and vaginas, meaning they know how to be emotional and mental and physical grown-ups. And we expand consciousness. One person at a time begins with you. You cannot be an expanding because you don't have a healed inner child. So you want to make sure you got your shit. So your three-year-old is your shit. I got shit. Shit is my mother and my twin. And, you know, twins have a lot because they gave me really great practice. And so did my soulmate. So I'm 44 and my oversoul has given me the biggest gift that you could ever, ever imagine. I have learned the most amazing language of love. And every time I got to learn it a little bit more, it's because of people who didn't know how to use their actual mouth to talk. So I learned how to use my equanimity tone, or my ventral vagal tone is what I should say. Okay, so what I can share with you as we end the story. I was 4 years of age and I went crying to my mother because of boys not wanting me to play. And that was because I was not fun. That's what she shared. She's like, you're too serious, but don't worry. When you grow up, you're going to find people who are serious. And it's like, yeah, I'm a grown up now. I don't think of myself as serious. I mean, not all men, by the way. No, I find, thank goodness, not all men. Oh, it would be a real problem if we didn't have any intellectual men. And you know, it's beautiful though. Intellectual means they also have emotional intelligence. Let me specify. So no, not the ones who are acting like teenager versions of themselves. No. When I see teenager versions of men, I now know how to handle a passive-aggressive, indirect communicator who's in a pissy mood, and we're going to go to that story. And the teenager story was simply, I mean, that you can't prove intent. It was very straightforward, easy, and my teenage boyfriend, I love him to death. He showed me how easy it was for a man to lie again and again about cheating on you with whoever, one time with his ex, another time with this random girl in front of all our friends, another time with my bestest friend, and that one was a really great one. Then the last, which is his lifelong partner, and we are family friends, so please do not offend my friends. With her, this is the biggest deal is, I want you to meet her. She's really nice. She tried hitting on me, but I don't want her. So she did try hitting on him. He told her no, but then he wanted us to become friends. I love her to death. She's awesome. And in fact, I tip my hat to her. That's an empowered woman right there. She knew what she wanted. She took what she wanted. Now, she could have avoided becoming friends. That's the one thing I said. You know, I think if she had done it without me becoming her friend, she would have been a lot more happy. But since I'm a person who doesn't take anything personally, because as a teenager, I did learn about people. And, oh, but you're so sensitive. You're taking it way too personally. So I learned I would not be taking things personally. It wasn't hard to do, my lovely listeners. No, I thought about it. I said, are you taking it personally? Well, yeah, I am. Is it personal? Does it matter to your life? Does it kill you physically? No. Does it hurt you emotionally? No. Why would I? No. Does it do anything to you mentally? Nope. Again, no. It doesn't. You know what? Fuck that shit. Why am I? I don't have to be in this space. It has nothing to do with me. You are all correct. I will not be taking anything personally because, wow, I didn't even think of it myself and now I did. So that's what happens when you have Jesus come on over and then your mom, my mom, thank you, mom, and my twin and my younger sister and my whole family. So here's God, obviously. Come on in. Okay, so this is how easy it is when you have a healed inner child to say, no, I'm not going to do it. As you get older and as you choose to keep doing whatever it is you want to do, because, I mean, are you living in my head every day? No, I am not taking it personally. I'm going to keep doing me. Bye-bye. Ciao. See you later, alligator. Are you good? Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not sure why. We don't. Words are blah, 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 blah. I can't hear you. I mean, I can, but I can't once I've completely moved into restorative embodiment. It feels really great inside. Now, on the outside, people don't know what it looks like on the inside. Once you get here, you'll know what I'm talking about. So it's really amazing because you love to be around more people, not less. Okay, so here's what happens when a person who has no trauma charges lingering in their brain, their somatic empath, the enlightenment soul, age group, the whole deal right here, empowered women, and you get to be presented with this very specific sentence. I've told you the story, but it's important to share it because of me wanting to present inside my body. I can't prove this stuff, but I know what I'm sharing. So you're either going to believe me or not. And I don't care. I know you can get to your empowered, restorative, embodied self if you do the work, if you need therapy, and if you choose to be loving and not do anyone in deep personal development and whine about stuff like that, okay? So I can explain it as many times as you'll want. We do personal development, specific guidance. You become a paid subscriber, or there's mentorship one-on-one if you want that, but only if you're serious. Okay, so when I have ever met one man in general, I love all the men that I've met. They've given me the opportunity to become the version of myself that I have consistently brought myself to be. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive them for they do not know. Thank you, Mother. Maria, watch your tone. Do your life. Do your thing. Don't follow people if you don't want to do it. Thank you to all of the people who consistently have let me know about exactly every little thing they have wanted to let me know, because it is through them that I get to know. Am I doing what I want to do in life? You know what? Yeah. Is my life something that I can share with my herd? I try. Yes, I do. Am I perfect? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, I'm a bossy pain in the ass. I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form. Do I lie and try to hurt people's feelings? Nope. Do I hide the truth? No. Am I using or wasting somebody's time in the absence of being considerate? No, again. So I'm going to say that I think I'm being a pretty decent fellow. I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to, but I'm going to say I'm being decent the minute that I respect your time, I respect your space, and I try to work with you, which is why we don't impede on any person who doesn't want us in their life. No, no, no. We will learn, and I have learned how to say, you know what? I am so sorry of putting my heart into the mix. I should have asked. I forgot to ask. Do you want to be a safe haven with me? I'm so sorry that I brought my nervous system into the picture. I will learn how to respect that you don't want to have a heart to heart. And that's what you learn, basically. Okay, so attachment wounded people, you leave them alone. So as we close on out, this is a human being friend of mine. And he did a couple of things that were definitely other women would have completely thought of him as an asshole. I don't. I feel bad for my friend to the degree that is not, oh my God, poor person, I'm dying. No, I feel bad because I'm pretty sure they need a good therapist. They don't want to get one because, you know, they're fucking drinking, drugging, and doing everything that hangover movies that people think are cool do. So he thought he was being cute when he, one, tried to kiss me, or he pecked me, and I'm like, what the fuck? That just happened. As I told you, I'm completely uninterested in you. But hey, that makes sense, because now that the three-year-old, who doesn't feel any more pressure since he's an avoidant, now he thinks he can get away with something because he doesn't, he's not going to have somebody who cares to have him be emotionally available. So you just did that. Then you're also creating a dramatic situation, which I wonder, is this coming from your home or something? Because you just put me in this little triangle. But see, I'm an honest person, so I took care of that as quickly as possible. And then, you know, I'm presenting to you a scenario. So fast forward, my lovely listeners, and I present to this person their inconsistencies, at which point I leave to go and hang out with some other friends, and they walk straight up to me and they look at me. And so there's this one friend of mine that everybody teases that he wants me and I don't want him, and I've told him, and as long as he respects me and he says he's cool and I can see he gets it, then cool friend. So we're always teasing and extra. So this guy comes right up to me and he raises his tone because he's upset right now. He's a little 16-year-old with his 3-year-old, tells me something along the lines, because I'm having to translate, you know you want, don't you give it to him, or something like that. I'm like, excuse me? You want him? No, I don't. I don't know why you're saying this, but no, I've talked to him. Hey, tell him that we're friends, please. Can you tell him? Yeah, okay. My friend was doing something, but I just looked at my friend like, lost, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, okay. And he leaves. So long story short, I was not offended. It was not personal. He can even call me a whore to my face, as I'm polyamory. It's not something that I don't expect people to do at some point. Plus, you know, people love to judge a book by its cover. I'm an evil witch, I'm an evil bitch, you name it. The things that a mystic can find herself to eventually look forward to in a way that creates conversation. So an empowered woman will not be like, oh my God, they were so rude to me, I need to go and address this immediately. It was more of, he needs a good therapist. I actually think he might have dissociative identity disorder, because he looked like Superman and Clark Kent switching roles. And I'm like, wow. And that was in about 2 years. So in a 2 years time, I'm thinking my friend needs help. I don't have permission to tell him, because as my lovely therapists have taught me, Maria, you don't have permission to talk. I never would have wanted, by the way, that's not who I am. I'm not a codependent human being. I actively know that I won't be telling a human suffering love person, hey, I think you need some therapist. No, because actually when people have come to me because of their suffering and I have shared with them what structural dissociation is, as they are actively doing it, this is women, No. I was conscious. Okay. No. Let me explain to you. A man buttoning up his pants or buttoning down his shirt doesn't indicate that he wants you. Now you're making me think of the whole he said, she said. But furthermore, what we were discussing as we were discussing, and your charges tell me you were in structural dissociation, which means you're playing out your child part stuff, your unfinished business from home. I'm trying to explain to you something I've learned in my classes. No. Now you're telling me that I'm some weirdo. No, I'm so sorry. No, I was just trying to say that there's a way that maybe people can help. That's all. You know what? Never mind. My bad. So when people don't want to hear, the adaptive child, by the way, will do that. That's why it's a maladaptive child. It's a teenager who's not hearing what they want to hear. You're right. I'm so sorry for you. I can't lie. I can't lie to my friends. I can't do it. And that's why I'm still a serious 44-year-old, which I won't ever become not. So when people don't want to hear something, that's when I know they know how to go to silence. And that's actually something that I've noticed a lot since I've been a mystic. I don't need to do shit when somebody doesn't want to work on their shame cycle. Oh, no. They're gonna distance themselves, disengage from having any type of conversation with me whatsoever, because they, one, know that the minute that they try to, that I cannot physically lie. Some people say, you could try. I don't want to. You see, I don't have regrets from my childhood. I have a healed inner child. I still have no regrets as a grown-up. There's one reason why. I'm here to be myself. My name's Maria. I'm a three-year-old. You have a three-year-old. I love being my three-year-old, and love is really easy. And what I've found is that healthy, self-worth men, they have just as easy as a time as I do. So because there's one of us, no, there's more than just one of us. There's more than just one empowered woman. There's more than just one empowered man. We learn how to support people. The ones who are not available to their self, they don't need a lecture. Because as the wise little bird tells in that Sadhguru story, if anybody remembers it, because any wise human being will know how to not talk to ears that can't hear. And lovely Stephen Porges, thank you. Biologically rude people, they are actively in their survival mode. The adaptive child is not a human being who's smart. They're dumbed down because they're reactive already. Their ears don't hear you. Their left mode is chit-chatting. They're making up shit in their brain. They're not even telling you the truth. And in all of this, they think that their mask is actually working. And then the worst part is they don't even think of, what did I just do? Should I go? I really think I should go and apologize to someone. So when you understand just how unkindness works because of childhood trauma, people, and attachment wounds, you really don't want anyone to be feeling bad and shitty about themselves. There's no need. Let them, you know, again, the no contact, in and out. They go date other people with their unfinished business. It's very sad. I have compersion for people. That means I want you to be happy. So when I see whether it's a man or woman or they who's in a unhealthy, horribly toxic, codependent, low self-esteem, passive aggressive, indirect communication, you know, the whole cancel culture, when they're with a partner that's not a partner, I say, you know what? I hope they find terror real. Wow, that's a really, you know, what the fuck? That's a blamer over there, and there's the martyr, and they're switching up roles. Oh, wait, they all have attachment wounds. That's the avoidant. That's the anxious one. Oh, shit, are they? So that's what you look at. You look and see, wow, and there's a person who might have DID, and they don't want to go get help, and yet they think they're badass. All these people think they're badass because the movies make them think, no, they're not getting the good information. They're literally on YouTube. I know they are on TikTok, on Instagram. They're all over. Every social media platform has at least one good person on there, like Patrick Tihan. He's everywhere, just him alone. They would figure out how not to date beneath themselves, and they would also figure out why our lovely mystic stuff doesn't work to help you get out of your child adaptive stuff. No, no, you need to be self-aware, self-reflective, look at yourself, and then say, am I in my herd in a way that I feel good about? Do I want to be envious, jealous, and spiteful, or vengeful? Do I actually think these feelings make me badass? These feelings are of a shame cycle. Anywhere you go, you will find great information on how low self-esteem works. So as long as there's the 4D and 3D who want to use the whole evil thing, yes, evil, Michael Stone, he's a forensic criminologist. They all need a good therapist. That's where they all are at. When a person has attachment wounds, therapist. So no contact, no big deal. I got saved by the, no, I didn't get saved. This is going to be a person who's going to be in my life. I got friend zoned. Don't you know? Attachment wounded people, they don't know how to leave you alone because they're going to want to hit of you every now and then because you're a safe space. That's what happens when a person will not say, huh, let me give you shit about what you just did. You know why we don't give you shit? Again, I'm imperfect and flawed. Did nobody hear the part of how I can be a pain in the ass? I'm just saying. When you're objective, I'm objective, Maria. Somebody can think you're an evil bitch or an evil witch. You're an asshole. Don't you know what that means? Yeah, it actually means that somebody could think that I hurt their feelings, even if I did it on purpose. Are you going to call them a liar when you know subjective experience? No, I'm not going to call them a liar. I'm going to care about that member of my herd. Are you going to prove to them? No, I can't. I literally can't, but I can try to have a conversation. Maybe we can talk it out. Because that's what grown-ups and badasses actually do. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. That's only the grown-ups. So when you meet people who love to chit-chat and they can have a face-to-face, I love that. That's when an empowered woman is going to have fun. When you meet an in-and-out man, an attachment-wounded man, a no-contact man, the ones who close their throat chakra, yeah, it's going to be very clear. Okay, I'm so sorry. You know what? I thought you didn't have this fear thing. I recognized you did. It's my bad. I take it back. No, we don't take it back. We just, again, don't have to do any of this because, luckily for us, they will choose no contact, in and out, and then they friend zone you, and you will be like, you know, this is awesome. I was saved by the bell because now I can be friends with somebody that I do love because we don't lie when we say I love you. That's the other part. So the only people who actually lie, they don't even lie. The attachment wounded people, they're trying to get home to themselves. Let's help people to get to their lovely whole three-year-old heart and their healed inner child by being secure attachment figures. So for Pachas, come on back over if you enjoyed, obviously also. It's great to be a grown-up and be kind and compassionate whenever you can. We'll be back again with more. Have a good one.